What the hell is it you were saying?
D&D and D&D. D&D.
No, stop saying the same thing and D&D. Explain what you mean by the thing you're saying.
D&D.
God, D&D. I hate you.
Yeah, that's God all right.
God damn.
That's all right, that's all right. And welcome to I'm Trying to Think, episode 6. I'm your host, Chuck Werner, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Dave Stern. Say, mama sa, mama musa, Dave.
No, I'm not gonna do that.
Well, I'm Trying to Think is sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Check foundation-institute.org. And you can visit I'm Trying to Think on the web at imtryingtothink.com. That's where we are. And there are 5 episodes of backlog. If you're listening to this, you probably already know. There's a lot of backlog up there, and
we got content. We may even put stuff on the website at some point if we're feeling ambitious.
It may be. I mean, I just want to establish our legitimacy by saying that we have...
It's this true. Is our 6th episode. We put 5 things on the internet. If that doesn't make you legit, I don't know what
there
does.
There are 5... nearly hour-long recordings. One, I believe, is longer than an hour. That's significant content for the internet. I mean, you know, I guess it's not paintings of Obama and unicorns, but, you know, only one person can do something like that and revolutionize the way we look at the internet. Have you seen these?
No. Are they exactly what they sound like?
They are exactly what they sound like.
All right, then,
I think they're sort of watercolory. They involve Obama naked, unicorns, and I know this is going to sound like a joke, but seriously, Obama naked, unicorns, and Hugh Laurie.
Huh.
Yeah.
And is this like a Brandon Bird, like, irony thing? Or is this someone absolutely guileless?
You know how the internet is. I see these, like, fourth hand posted on some site that got them from another site that got them from another site. So,
because I know Brandon Bird, you know, has his sort of career niche of.
I like that stuff actually.
Yeah,
I like
his stuff.
Awesome.
I want to get a. Good. I really want to get a print of I think a Signifier and Signified. It's the one where it's basically Noam Chomsky with his badass airbrushed van that says Chomsky.
Yeah, that's good. He does good work. I really like his stuff. It's like Andy Warhol taken to the next level. Taken to the, like, superb irony level.
Right. Although I'm not even sure if it's irony or if it's just... It's something. But I like whatever it is.
It's definitely something, and I also like whatever it is. I can't complain about it.
So, this... I guess the first question I have is this Obama unicorn, like, nude Obama, Hugh Laurie and a unicorn thing, is that... in this vein, or is it someone being really puzzlingly sincere?
I'd have to be able to find the original artist, and I didn't go that deeply into it.
Okay.
But just from the sort of minute exposure I had to it, I have to think sincere.
Okay.
And the reason I would make that declaration is that one of the painting, or several of the paintings involve the Obama logo, you know, the little O thing.
Right.
Painted on the unicorn or some, and that to me seems like you're going a step further. Like, you believe in something, and it's Obama and unicorns. I mean, I believe that Barack Obama exists as an existent entity. I believe that unicorns exist as a concept.
Right.
But... I don't believe in either one of them in the sense that I think there's some magical notion that combines and encircles the two.
Which leads me to my follow-up question.
Okay.
Is there any dong?
No, I didn't see any dong. There's some bum-bum. But there's
okay.
There's no dong, so you're safe from dong. Well, from not real dong, mind you. Painted Obama dong. So it would really be an impression of... what that person thinks the Obama dong looks like. Obama dong. I think I've coined a great phrase there.
Yeah.
It can't be used to mean what it actually would mean.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
It
does.
Obama-dong.
Obama-dong.
That's a good.
Maybe it should mean like some social program that he could be proud of. You know, 10 years from now, we could say, man, socialized healthcare is totally Obama-dong.
I don't know, because the problem is in that context, it sounds like something where it's like, if you want to attack, like, I feel like that's the kind of thing where it's like, you know, it's 6 years from now, you know, my career is taking a strange turn, so I'm, you know, on my right-wing radio show hosting it, as
right.
I am going to be doing, and I'm just like, national healthcare, you know, just a bunch of poor people sucking on the Obama-dong, you know, it would be something like that. Like, it sounds angry.
That's way better.
It sounds angry.
That's just way better. You came up with a way better idea. And now I'm sad that we don't have a conservative talk show. Honestly, maybe we should. Because I think we could do better than even Rush Limbaugh. Mm-hmm. I could do
take
way better
top,
than...
Take an aim at the top.
Yeah, I could do way better than Glenn Beck, I know. My crazy would come out so pure that you wouldn't... Even liberals would have a hard time detecting it as true crazy. They would be like, he has a point and that disturbs me. They would be hurt by it.
Also, it's like that crazy where it's like, it sounds chillingly reasonable when you explain it, but it's crazy?
Yes, yeah. Like, it still breaks convention.
And logic.
And logic, but...
And sense.
A person who's maybe not super skilled in logic would think, that guy is not crazy, he's right. So I wouldn't have just these crazy... I wouldn't create movements of things like the birther movement, which is just stupid and is easily disproven. Like, right. Okay, look at a birth certificate. Look at a newspaper from the time. You can't go back in time and make up newspapers. I'm sure that's going to be the next conspiracy theory is that he's a time-traveling Kenyan.
Right.
Like Doctor Who. Isn't Doctor Who a time-traveling Kenyan?
Basically, I haven't seen the show, so I think that's what it is. He's time traveling in Kenyan.
I would go for something like that.
If you're a Kenyan and you're going to time travel, though,
yeah.
I would assume you're going to do it like the Superman way, because you're very good runners. You know, I've seen the Boston Marathon a lot. It's just generally won by a Kenyan. I'd assume they'd run around the world, turn back the time that way.
Doctor Who. Oh, like Superman does.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, run around the world in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Or maybe the right direction, since the Kenyan's legs are pushing off the Earth. So that pushing off action rotates it the wrong way. So he wants to run the way the Earth rotates.
I don't know.
Which, if I'm correct, would mean he's running west to east.
Chuck.
Yeah.
I'm not a physicist.
That's true.
I couldn't explain this.
We are experts. That's why we have this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And as experts, we have to be able to prepared to answer these
things. I'll leave the physics to you.
I don't know if you've ever watched CNN or some other network that has a lot of experts. But if they don't know something, they just make it up.
Oh, it's true. I mean, that's how sort of both expertness and punditry work. That's kind of the gold standard of punditry is, you
and
know,
now I mean,
you have an opinion on whatever happened, regardless of the knowledge base you have.
Now we're going to have to delete this, because now we've told everyone the secret of being an expert.
It's true.
But that's okay, because we'll ramble on.
Actually, this is one thing that I'm sure you've seen occasionally, and I know it just drives me insane.
Yes.
Is... When, because I mean, I understand that pundits have to, you know, have an opinion on everything, even if they have no reason to have an opinion on something, because that's their job. You know,
that is
their
job.
I don't like it because it's stupid.
They don't come to where you work and slap the mop out of your hand. That's
exactly.
All I'm saying.
Exactly, which is nice because I need to mop that stuff. But
yeah.
But anyhow, you know, I don't like what they do in that sense. You know, I think having opinion without information is dumb, but I understand they have to do it for their job. But what drives me insane is when, like, in casual conversation, friends or acquaintances are pundits. Like, have you ever had someone...
That doesn't bother me as much as I thought. What I thought you were going to say, which this is something that bothers me, and that is when people that I know and are friends with angrily bring up something that pundits said
right.
to me. who agrees that it's idiotic, whatever they said. Obviously, I'm going to agree that this thing is idiotic. They bring it up anyways with a lot of anger and can you believe he said that? Yes, I can believe he said that. He gets paid lots of money to be an idiot on the radio. It's a simple procedure. They will say anything that gets them paid more money to be an idiot. I mean, it's, you know, we've had clowns for generations. I don't understand why this new version, this postmodern clowning that goes on conservative talk radio or even liberal talk radio. I have to assume they're just as crazy, but I haven't really listened, so I wouldn't know. Either one, you know, of course it's outlandish. That's why they have people, that's why people listen to them. But anyways, so people in your life being pundits.
Yeah, like, have you ever had a conversation where someone actually feels it's necessary to repeat talking points? And not because they're dumb and talking points are, you know, how they understand and comprehend an issue even, but just as part of the message. You know, because they're trying to get out the message, and it's like, why are you doing this? That's not your job.
I think we're going to need an example.
I don't know. This is the unfortunate thing. If I had known if you were going to call me on that, I'd have prepared one. I don't have a good one off the top of my head.
Unprepared. That's all right. So let's go back to something to what I was saying though, which is that if I were a conservative talk radio person or a liberal one. If I were a liberal one, I would be the same. I would come up with the theories and the ideas that it can't be disproven or even, you know, are sort of agnostic to even approach them. Like, you know, the existence. I would take the idea of the existence of God and its unprovability and even inconceivability, and I would apply it to politics.
Right. So you would kind of, the conspiracy theories or the accusations you would make would be in that vein where you can't prove or disprove them readily.
Right.
Would it be for the same reason, actually, because they are so beyond the scope of human conception?
Maybe. I might go for that. For instance, Glenn Beck says, I think Obama has a deep-seated hatred for white people, okay? Or something. He said something akin to that.
Right.
easily disproven by the other members of Fox and Friends, hilariously, because they say, well, he's got David Axelrod and Rahm Emanuel and all these people.
Although, in fairness, you know, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here for a second.
Go ahead.
If we were, you know, being like the movie Soul Man and we were swapping races around in this, and there was a white guy and he was accused of being racist.
Yeah.
And the defense was, no, he has black friends. We would say that was bullshit, wouldn't we?
We would.
We would say that was complete bullshit.
Well, I think it's...
So why is that truer now,
It's not truer.
So
it's
he's just, got white friends. It's just, big deal. It's
just hilarious racist as a president. Counter-argument. Yeah, racist
president. Racist
but I think the better counter-argument is that he is half white. But then again, you could go to Hitler, who was half Jewish.
Self-loathing white man.
Self-loathing white man.
Self-loathing
whitey.
Right.
He's a self-loathing whitey.
I mean, really, when
I like that spin better. Better than black racist is self-loathing whitey.
Really, when it comes down to it, the best sort of defense against that argument is, well, judging by the things he said and done, that seems wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it would be. But the point is it's easily disproven just by quoting him or by looking at the way he acts.
By looking at things that exist in the world.
Right. I would go for things that are not disprovable by looking at things in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would come up with ideas like, well, let me tell you something. Sure, he's nice now, but if aliens invaded, Barack Obama would be the first one to, you know, accept them as our new overlords.
Right.
And there you go. Bam. How's he going to disprove it? How's he going to counter that argument?
Honestly, you don't even have to go with, like, the alien thing. Just as long as you accuse him of things in the future, you're golden.
Yeah.
That gives you that agnostic state. It's,
I like using if,
you know what this
though.
Is? It's David Hume. It's David Hume.
So you're saying, basically,
you know, I'm saying there's no, I mean, once causality doesn't exist, you can pretty much accuse anyone of anything.
Right,
you know?
Right. Okay. I can
get
behind that.
And it's all agnostic. It's all in that realm you're looking for.
Yeah, and I think if you use the words causality and agnostic in the conversation, especially if you use agnostic out of the context and most people understand it, it would sound really genius and people would just eat it up. So that's our next show. After we do the Oversized Dollhouses show.
Right.
I believe the title was Holy Shit, Look at That Dollhouse.
No, Holy Shit, Giant Dollhouses, I think. We'll have to look it up. Holy Shit,
Giant Dollhouse.
Yeah, I think it's just Holy Shit, Giant Dollhouse.
All right, I wasn't clear. I haven't looked over the papers, you know, the pitch that we wrote up.
Right.
But after we do that, we need to do causality conservative radio.
Mm-hmm. So just basically, you know, the sun may or may not come up. You know, the president will in the future, and that's our indefinite prediction, is in the future indefinitely.
We could also go back into the past and change causality such that we invalidate the present. For instance, well, let me tell you, you know, Obama might be all great and wanting to help people get health care, but if black people had enslaved white people, he would be nuking France. Bam. Disprove it.
Yeah,
that's... Show me where that's not true.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sort of counterfactual. It's a slightly different tack on it, but it's, right. It's devastating.
You put him in...
It's devastating.
You basically are taking Barack Obama and you're putting him in Harry Turtledove novels, you know, where aliens come to help the South fight the Civil War or yes. something like that. And then you say... If that had happened, now Barack Obama would be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You could tone it down a little if you really wanted, you know. Well, if Hillary Clinton hadn't signed up for Secretary of State, Barack Obama would be eating babies.
Right.
Okay, maybe that's still a little extreme, but get where I'm going.
To appease the Middle East.
Right, you get where I'm going.
To appease the Middle East.
Because he's an appeaser.
Yes.
Appeasement. I like that word, though. I want an appeaser. I want to be appeased.
You want to appease the Obama dong.
You know why nobody's...
That's what you want to do.
You know why nobody's appeasing me? OPs. You just said OPs. Do you know why no one's appeasing me, though? Do you know why no one's appeasing me?
I don't. Why?
Because I'm not threatening to liberate Czechoslovakia.
What is the magic that makes one's eyes sparkle and gleam, light up the skies? The name of the game is Lightworks.
What do you call? And we are back. Welcome back to I'm Trying to Think. Dave, during the break, we had a little talk.
Yeah, and a large sandwich.
Yeah, there was some eating, but. It turns out I was correct. I was worried that my joke wasn't historically accurate.
It's true, because if there's one thing we care about, actually, it's meticulously researching every sort of offhand statement and quip we make for factual accuracy and historical rigor.
Again, because we are experts.
Yes. And because we like saying rigor with a rolled R.
I like saying it with a rolled G. Rigor.
Wow.
Yeah, you like that?
I'm going to stick with wow.
I taught myself that little trick. It was pretty good.
I didn't know you could roll a G.
Oh, yeah. But I did look it up. I did the research. I pulled out the history books. And I was right. Czechoslovakia, Sudetenland, is in Czechoslovakia. To ruin the joke completely, Hitler, you know, had said that Sudetenland should be allowed to join Germany and leave Czechoslovakia, and Chamberlain, who was, you know, the famous appeaser, said, well, okay. Basically, so, you know, that's paraphrased.
And that's why that thing was funny.
That's why that was funny. If you didn't get that, that's okay. We're going to be explaining all our jokes in an annotated volume that will be released in spring 2010. We were trying to get it out for Christmas. But
well,
it's
we
just
fucked it
not
up.
Gonna happen.
You know, just flat out, we fucked it up.
Yeah, it's
you
just know, not gonna happen. Anyways,
the printers.
But geek cred is important, Dave. Geek cred is very important.
And you had to maintain your World War II nerd cred.
I had to maintain my World War II nerd cred. Do you know the interesting thing though is I think that geek cred works in two directions for me.
How so?
So on one hand, I want to maintain my geek cred. But on the other hand, I kind of require geek cred out of everyone around me.
I can understand that to a certain level, but...
Well, for instance, here, let me give you a for instance. Sure. You may, the audience may or may not know, I'm a married man to a delightful woman. But obviously, as a human being, I still look, there are still women that are beautiful and I'm attracted to. And when I'm out in public and I see a beautiful woman, or I think, oh, she looks good, or I like her hair, or whatever. Do you know what flatlines that for me? The thought that comes up that makes that end?
I do not.
Basically, if you could imagine... A paladin from deep in my subconscious comes riding atop his horse. He's probably
Steed, please. If you've already said paladin, right. You might as well say Steed.
He's probably Steed. He's probably eighth or ninth level.
Mighty Steed.
In the old the old edition, eighth or ninth level guy.
Was that he's when named. You summon a warhorse? You have a keep.
Oh, he summoned a warhorse.
He has a keep?
Yeah, he has a keep at this point. He Does rides he have up
retainers?
And he says
Does he have retainers,
Chuck? Yes, he has retainers and hirelings. rides up from my subconscious, the ninth level paladin, and he says, lo, the... Okay, I'm not going to do it in paladin speak. But he says, basically, prithee, she would not appreciate that you have a house full of, toy tanks and Warhammer figures and that you spend hours... modeling and painting tiny men so that they could fight other guys' tiny men on your table. I mean, he says it in fancier tongue because he's a ninth level paladin. Mm-hmm. But and then he sheathes his Holy Avenger and rides back into my subconscious. But seriously, it's just, I look at the woman, I'm like, oh, she's very beautiful. And then I realize, she probably doesn't know what D&D stands for. So... I have no time. I have no time for that.
I know. Here's the thing I've found out about, in my experience, about, geek cred in that sense, though, is, you don't necessarily need, a partner or someone to actually know what these things are. They just have to accept that you do them. You know what I mean?
They have to accept that you do them, but I think a bit of appreciation goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
There's, craft to what I do. There's a skill. There's an art.
Yeah, you're painting little guys. You can paint them well or paint them shittily.
But I mean, I like that there's the effort's appreciated and understood. And, it doesn't hurt that my wife plays D&D, which stands for Dungeons and Dragons. Thank you very much. I'm sure everybody out there was hanging on every word, waiting. What is this D&D they're speaking of?
I was kind of confused. That's a lie.
Yeah, that's a lie. That's a lie. But the thing about it is that you may find interesting is that this isn't a tool that I use to stay faithful to my wife. Rather, it is a gut. It's an instinctive gut reaction that I have to human beings. Self-enforced faithfulness.
Huh.
What she has to worry about is when I, walk into the gaming store and some girl is showing off, like a Bane Blade.
I think that's a situation that mostly takes care of itself, though.
Oh, so she'd have to be a hot girl. She'd have a hot girl showing off a Bane Blade.
I mean, I've hung out with you at the gaming store. I'm going to say that's a situation that mostly, 99% of the time is taken care of itself.
How is it taking care of itself? That she doesn't exist, that would be the 99%.
Yeah, that's...
That's not so much it taking care of itself. That's where I was going with that. Or yes. I think the phrase would be more, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that happening. Although, if there are any hot girls with Bane Blades, let me tell you something. I wouldn't mind setting up a calendar. I know I could get some buyers.
Good luck finding 12, buddy.
12 hot girls with Bane Blades. That's the goal here on the show. Our long-term goal now. 12 hot girls with Bane Blades.
I gotta say, this hour, in this case, methinks you doth presume too much. You know what I'm saying? If you could get it together.
You know how my dad used to say that?
Knock yourself out.
My dad used to say, or I guess he still says, because he's still alive.
Yeah.
He says, what, you got a mouse in your pocket? Inferring that the hour was not including him.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, he seems to be implying that you have a tiny penis.
I don't get that from that, but...
mouse in your pocket.
I'll see him tomorrow. I'll ask. I'll make sure he's not trying to.
I think he was nailing you.
And if he is, really, who's to blame there, you know? I'm saying genetics being what they are.
Yeah, that's a pretty messed up thing to tell your kid. That's, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he's saying that. Because we aren't, I'm just going to guess that the family trait has passed itself down, Dave. And you know there's some fame surrounding certain parts of my body.
It's going to live forever. It's going to learn how to fly.
It's going to learn how to fly. And it might be a dancer.
Or an actor or a singer. That's the three in Fame, right?
I don't know. They're remaking it.
I was in Fame once.
What?
Yeah.
Is it
summer camp. In summer camp.
Is it something that kids do sometimes?
Yeah.
As a musical? Did.
Yeah.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
I was the drama teacher.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah.
I was in Fiddler on the Roof. Do you know who I was?
I don't.
I was Yussel the Hat Maker.
I don't. Is that a character I should remember?
No, it's not.
Playing Third Banana in theater.
Yeah, well, the
good times.
I think the director was trying to push me to do Model the Tailor, but I didn't have the range. I couldn't sing that high. And the Miracle of Miracles song, you know, I couldn't do it.
No good.
No, I was just a baritone by that point. And soon to become a bass. And it,
wonders, miracle.
Yeah, it,
no, the, no,
he didn't. He wasn't going for it. He was not going for it. So I ended up Yussel the Hat Maker, which is it's sad because I auditioned for Tevye. I got called back for Tevye. I got called back for Model the Tailor. I end up Yussel the Hat Maker.
Oh,
yeah. The funnier part of this really is. Not a Jew in the performance. Not a single Jew. The director, Jewish. Not a single Jew among the student population, though. To my knowledge. It's possible there were secret Jews in my high school.
Right. God, there's a name for that. I'm trying to remember. There's a name for medieval secret Jews. But since I cannot remember it, and we are, we've said before, scrupulously historical, historically accurate. I'm right. Sorry, that was almost a grammatical.
Oh my god, and we're historically grammatically terror. Accurate.
Yes, I mean you heard us saying prithee. You know prithee. What's up.
He sheathes his holy avenger and rides back into my subconscious, Dave. That paints a picture.
See, that raises your geek cred, and that raises my geek shame. That fills me with geek shame.
Yeah, geek shame is not something anybody should feel.
I know, because
now geek is chic. Everybody wants their iPhone. Everybody wants their iPod. Everybody wants to, you know, be on the internet and listen to stupid music that nobody really likes, but they all pretend that they like it and wear bad clothes and ride bicycles. Everybody wants to do that. That's the cool thing. But that's what geeks did before it was cool.
I feel like that kind of conflated like three different things into a
shut
thing.
Up.
But your basic point is right.
It's absolutely right. Everybody uses the internet now. It used to be just us. World of Warcraft has like 11 million subscribers or something worldwide. You gotta be kidding me. I remember when a massively multiplayer online game was so hard to play, you didn't understand why you were playing in the first place. You'd die, your corpse would be laying somewhere. Oh, that's even worse. You'd have to type in where you were going.
Swing sword at guy.
Dave, people, I don't want to alienate too much of our audience, either by making an obtuse statement that they don't understand, or by insulting them, but people still play MUDs. Can you believe that?
Yeah. So, you know, some people can't let go.
That's
of the past.
If you want geek cred, I'm sorry, your fixed wheel bicycle and your past blue ribbon isn't going to do it for me. Although I don't think geeks really ever.
No, like I said, this ribbon. Is part of the three different things that you're conflating into the same thing.
Your iPhone doesn't make you doesn't give you any geek cred, but if you play a MUD on your iPhone, all of a sudden I'm paying attention.
Oh, it'd be so hard to type go north on the virtual keyboard.
It would take you forever, yeah. It would be slow leveling, but I mean, if you have Zork on your iPhone, suddenly we might get along. If you have a dice roller, we probably won't get along. I have a dice roller, actually. And one of our mutual friends has a dice roller.
I know, you loved that dice roller.
It's fun to play with, but the thing is I wouldn't allow it at the table. Because I know geeks. They will hack that shit. That's all I'm saying. I mean, could you imagine, Dave, we have the technology. We could make an iPhone app that looked just like one of the legitimate dice rollers, but you could do a secret motion.
Load it, yeah.
Yeah, you could do a secret motion that would load the dice. Huh? Yeah. Money. That fart machine, forget about it.
Oh man, actually that's one of my ideas though. Here's the thing about the iPhone fart machine.
Yeah, iPhone fart machine. It's good, a pretty topic, solid topic.
Yeah, it's a pretty saturated market at this point.
Completely saturated market.
Oh, wet farts. That's why that's money. Anyhow.
Ooh.
Moving on. Oh.
Yeah.
Saturated.
Ooh. Can we move on? Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. Anyhow.
Anyhow.
If you want to compete in that market, what you need to do is make the best fart application. Like, my idea was, if you're going to make an iPhone fart app in today's crowded iPhone farting application marketplace.
Right.
We call it ExecuFarts. Okay, wood paneled. You know, just, it's a very faux wood grain.
Right.
Very elegant.
Okay.
Very classy looking.
Sure.
Richly sampled with, you know, not just like a menu of like, funny fart one, wet fart, this fart, you know. But, you know, real knobs, you know, fine grained analog control. So you can get just the perfect fart you want. You know? I mean, if you're going to do it, you have to do it better than everybody.
I'm going to tell you the truth about marketing now.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to dominate the iPhone fart app market, you make a free fart app. Okay? Totally free. You never have to pay for it. No trials. It's always free. But it has some ads. Bam. Mm-hmm. Because people want a fart app, but they want it free. Because there's a lot of free apps out there, Dave, and they're expecting free shit. Mm. It's a new way to monetize. It's like Twitter. One of the most popular websites on the internet. Revolutionized a certain concept of social networking. Doesn't make a dime.
Yeah, I think you're getting monetized, which incidentally, terrible word. Hate that word. But
still,
you're getting
Twitter monetized. Has not monetized.
Yeah, you're getting the word monetized mixed up with not making money.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You have to have a concept. You can't be Twitter. The Twitter guy is like, oh, we're trying to figure out a way to monetize Twitter. Yeah, it's too late, buddy. You that ship has sailed. Your window for monetization? Your window for monetization is closed.
I was going. You know, actually, what's funny thing is, I hate that word so much, like, I was gonna be like, you know, what the hell, it's already a stupid word, so I'm just gonna give it an even stupider ending to just make it ridiculous, and, you know, make a little funny haha joke.
Mm-hmm.
What I came up with was just monetize again. That's what I was saying.
It is a pretty terrible word.
Like, I was trying to come up with a word that was worse than it for comedy, and I just came up with the same word.
It's the apex.
Because it's that goddamn
bad. It is the apex. It's not penultimate, friend. It is ultimate.
Ugh.
At any rate, Twitter has failed to monetize. I just don't see what they're going to do. What are they going to do? The higher pitched I get, the more outrageous it gets. What are they going to do? I can't go that high.
No, you're...
That's how ridiculous it is, though. It's beyond my range. I would need a soprano in here to say, what are they going to do?
You want me to rack you?
No.
I can rack you and we can continue.
No, that's okay. The point is, I mean, Google Ads? What are they going to do? What are they going to do? They got this mega machine of communication swallowing servers day after day, just consuming bandwidth, sucking down RAM like it's candy. And man, that site sucks too. It breaks constantly. They don't have the back. I don't know what the problem is, but somewhere they've got some technological issues as well. And not a single Google ad on the place. They got investors. What the hell? Who are these investors? Did they not watch, like, the dot-com bubble explode, you know, years ago when nobody made money from the internet? Who are these people pouring piles of money into Twitter? It has to cost piles of money to keep that thing running. It is just, I mean, it is just going to be the most gigantic failure, Dave. In 15 years, people are going to laugh when you say Twitter, because they're going to know that it was just this ball. It's like a lint ball that people just kept adding lint to. And then they realized, hey, this lint ball is huge and nobody wants to buy it or pay for it. Nobody even wants to pay to put lint on it. Because there are a million other places where they could put lint. That was a crazy analogy, but trust me, in 15 years, it is going to be the most ridiculous thing that has ever existed. People are going to laugh their asses about it. Meanwhile, the Facebook guys are going to, there's going to be too many gold digging women attacking the Facebook guys. They're not going to have room to fit in the lavishly appointed mansions that they have built on stilts in the middle of the Atlantic. Like, they're going to have so much money.
I'm pretty sure they actually don't make any money either yet.
Well, they have ads. They better make money.
No, I don't think they do.
Okay.
Because here's the other sort of dirty secret. All right,
the YouTube guys. Well, they're already rich.
No, actually, YouTube, those guys are all... YouTube also hemorrhages a lot of money.
Yeah, but YouTube, the YouTube guys are rich.
Well, yeah, that's because
they got paid off, yeah. Everything hemorrhages money.
I mean, here's the dirty secret of internet advertising. I understand this. It's not at the point where it works yet. Basically, people use it because everything else is collapsing. But it doesn't work yet.
Well, I mean, the idea is that...
How many Google ads have you clicked on?
Not that many. But the thing is how many, you know, ads for perfume, expensive cars, Reeboks. What do I wear, Dave? I wear Payless shoes. Chuck Taylors. That's my most expensive pair of shoes. I wear clothes from Costco, okay? I mean, I'm inundated with advertising. And you know where all my money goes? It goes into things that are never advertised. Not, well, maybe in some magazines, but there's, do you see TV ads for Warhammer goods?
No.
Although at this point, because I'm supporting myself and my wife, my World of Warcraft expenses are up there. I mean, you know, two accounts a month, Dave, it's getting expensive. Mm-hmm. It's not really getting expensive. No, but seriously, I mean, people have wasted money on advertising for generations. It's just going to take some time. It is going to take time before people like Google or Hulu or whatever can demand the money from advertisers, because they advertisers, nobody's watching anything else. Nobody's looking at the TV, so, you know, you have to punch them with Hulu, which is probably one of the most genius things to come into the market in a while. Twitter is never going to... I mean, here's another factoid about Twitter. I can get it all through my iPhone on an app. I could just get it all texted to me. What are they going to do, text me ads? It's untenable. It's untenable. I'm telling you, it's going to be the biggest flop. It's going to be pets.com times four. It's going to it's going to be pets.com times pets.com times pets.com times pets.com. It's going to be pets.com to the fourth.
Okay, so if there's two morals to this story that I understand, just to put a bow on this so we can move on.
Right on. I've wasted a lot of time yelling about how Twitter is never going to make money.
Oh my God, you have.
Anyhow. It was worth it. It was worth every minute, Dave. Oh, it felt so good.
Okay, anyhow, yeah, two morals of the story. One, everything is collapsing and no one understands how to make money. We're all doomed on the internet. That's thing one. Moral two, they should bring back the Cosmo.com, because that seemed like a good service. Not to make money, but if we're losing money on the internet again, they should bring back Cosmo.com.
You know, why not?
Because I miss being like, hey, I want a bag of Doritos. Could I have a guy buy the Doritos and bring them to me?
Yeah, that's...
I'll pay slightly more for them.
I would pay a premium on the bag of Doritos to have a dude bring them to my house.
Because that's just glorious.
And what would be great about that site being successful is it would divide us into two classes. The horribly, morbidly obese people are sitting at home getting...
And they're perpetually annoyed bike messengers.
And they're very well-toned, you know, yeah, delivery yeah. people who have to run around all the time and give them Doritos.
Oh man, Cosmo.com is H.G. Wells' The Time Machine, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, you know...
Also, that's something Murlocs that and I think... Morlocks.
Morlocks. Morlocks are something different.
Yeah, also, like... I think that was one thing different. I remember in H.G. Wells' The Time Machine, it was, you know, the underclass was, you know, Morlocky and scary. And then the, like, you know, peaceful people of the future, was it the Eloi, was it? I think it was something along those lines.
Something along those lines, yeah.
They were these sort of thin, gentle, rail-like people. So it turns out the Morlocks are going to look gorgeous. And the sort of civilized upper-class Eloi going to be fucking fat as shit.
Well, here's the thing, though, Dave. They're going to look gorgeous by our standards. But as society evolves into fat people being served by skinny-toned people, fat people will become the new, model for attractiveness. Because
it's true.
They're the privileged class. I don't know how they're making money to afford the Doritos at this point, but...
Twitter.
I'm Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. The Foundation Institute would like to remind you that your 9th level paladin may never retain more than 10 magic items and must make an immediate tithe of 10% of all income, be it treasure, wages, or whatever, to whatever charitable religious institution of lawful good alignment the paladin selects. This may not be a clerical player character.
If you find this unfair, then you may be interested in attending the lecture of Foundation Institute Fellow Professor Morten Friedrichsen, Abolishing the Tithe, Setting Free Markets in Your D&D Campaign.
The Foundation Institute, planning for the future and tomorrow. And welcome back to I'm Trying to Think. Well, this has been, how do we close this, Dave? This has been a pretty nerd-focused episode.
Yeah, I mean, we've hit pretty much all the nerd high marks, by which I mostly just mean, you know, we've talked about gaming with little miniatures, we've talked about role-playing games, we've talked about World War II, we talked a lot about the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been the show where we just sort of... Abandon
reason for madness?
Yes, but I was going to say more
That's
just...
That's another geek reference, actually.
Yeah, I was more just saying we're abandoning sort of our semi-lofty perch of ideas, and just, we just wallowed in our nerdiness, like pigs in nerd. You know, like pigs in a pile of nerd.
Pigs in a pile of nerd.
That's a horrible mixed metaphor. It didn't
work
at all.
Yeah, that would probably end poorly. A lot of this sound.
Oh.
I think this would be the overriding comment. The pig's on me. The pig's on me. Okay. Yeah, but that wouldn't be coming from the pig.
No.
Hello. Oh,
nerds make funny sounds.
Oh, man.
Nerds make funny sounds.
Yeah, they do. Sounds like Mortimer's having an asthma attack. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Mortimer. Oh. As if a nerd had that name.
Does anyone have the name Mortimer?
Sure somebody does. A lot of cartoon characters and you know, fantasy children's stories, probably. Mm-hmm. Mortimer sound is that a, that's a turtle's name at some point, right?
Also, like, Jews who are in their 70s or 60s and live in Boca Raton, but they go by Morty.
Yeah, they go by Morty. But is it Mortimer the turtle? That sounds like a character. Is that real? Did I make that up? Somebody else make that up?
I think it is.
Well, I've got the Wikipedia, as always.
Yeah, you Google Mortimer the turtle. See if that's a thing.
That's got to be a thing.
Because if it's not, then we are sitting on a fucking untapped vein.
Yeah, we can't release this until I go copyright it. No, I don't see any Mortimer the turtle on a Google search, and that's pretty much...
Okay, then.
That's established.
All right, spitballing.
Mortimer the turtle.
What's he do? Where's he live?
Okay,
he does he live in a tree?
First of all, he drives a sports car.
He lives in a tree. He drives in a sports car.
He drives like an old sports car, like maybe an old Cobra or something. You know, two-seater really rounded features on it. Not a sharp one, like a rounded
car. Okay, yeah. From, like, he wears a driving scarf and goggles and a hat.
Oh, right? Maybe a Triumph. An old Triumph.
Yes, sports I'm on car. Board.
Right, right.
But am he's I right British. Goggles, hat. Yes,
he's got a goggles.
He's got a driving clothes. Right, yeah.
Because his car has, like, no windshield. It's, you know, well, I mean, maybe it has a small one. But, you know, he needs to protect his eyes. Yeah, it's a very little windshield. Right. He has a friend. His friend is a rooster.
Reginald.
American, though.
Reginald.
No, he's American. Okay,
no.
He's an American rooster, like, really proud.
Roger.
Like, then he's... Roger. Right, Roger the Rooster. He's the British idea of what Americans are like.
Mm-hmm.
Which I always enjoy watching.
Right.
Where is it set? Okay, I don't think... Should the turtle live in a tree? That sounds weird to me.
No, that's a little too Wind in the Willows. It's a little too Wind in the Willows.
Okay. He should live in a stately house.
No, is Derby a British town?
I think so.
Yeah, he lives in Derby.
Okay, that's fine, but what does he... I think he lives in a nice, stately brick house.
I don't want to say stately. I want to say more middle class, upper middle class, cozy. I feel like if it's a kid's book, you want a cozy home.
Let's say this. He's in a rich neighborhood, so he's got a big house for a rich neighborhood.
Okay,
but it's tight there, you know, like, there's not a lot of room. So he's got, like, a three-story... It's you know... Squidged in with a bunch of other houses.
Uh-huh. He's got a lot of knickknacks. I feel like
he's a knickknack collector.
He's full of knickknacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, not him. His house. His house is full of knickknacks.
His house is full of knickknacks.
Okay.
So
house full of knickknacks. Roger the Rooster.
Roger the Rooster, freeloader. I think right. He's always crashing on the couch.
Uh huh.
Right. Okay.
Right.
So you
comes
got Roger
in unannounced. He's kind of like the kids' book version of a wacky sitcom neighbor.
Is it too advanced, or can we go down this road? I think we should go down this road. We got to give kids more respect. You know, give them more credit.
Yeah, you got to talk to them. A lot of credit. Kids aren't stupid. Kids are just like adults, who don't understand basic concepts because they don't know them yet, because they have not been exposed to those concepts.
Right. So my thought is that he's got he's very shy, but he's got a crush on an animal that you wouldn't expect a turtle to get a crush on, rabbit.
Yeah, bam. I was thinking this. You took the word right out of my mouth.
She's got like a red
mouth.
Bow on her head, like tied between the ears.
Yeah, I know.
Ears,
also
you know?
British, I assume.
She's still British. Yeah. She's probably
okay,
British.
And that case, I'm going back. I'm gonna
or
gender
maybe she's
modify.
Just non-ethnic. She has no nationality. She hasn't. She has a neutral accent.
Maybe is she Pakistani?
I don't think so. She could maybe be Indian.
Okay.
I think she's Indian. Are there rabbits in India?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Could she be Irish? Are there rabbits in Irish? Ireland?
Yeah, sure.
Irish rabbits. Now, are you sure even after the myxomatosis thing?
No, but let's go with it.
Okay. Because you know myxomatosis.
Yeah.
It killed a lot of rabbits.
Yeah. Hey, don't tell me about myxomatosis. I know about myxomatosis. All right,
fine.
I don't need to hear about myxomatosis.
Mortimer the Turtle. What's the girl's name? Harriet the Hare. Bam.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we want to do it all... Because Mortimer's not alliterative, so do we want
Mortimer
to be alliterative?
Yeah.
Okay, Harriet the Hare seems... Henrietta Hare.
Henrietta Hare,
that's
bam.
Probably already
Roger
been
the
done,
Rooster.
We'll,
Roger the Rooster.
We can get it to our lawyers, we'll make it work.
Right, and we'll give the kids credit. Roger the Rooster always trying to impress Henrietta Hare, right?
Yeah.
He's always like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, he's rooster, strutting around.
Oh, you know what? Should he be American or should he be Australian and call everybody Bruce?
No, I think that's been done. American. I like American. I like
right,
our first.
Fine.
I think our first instinct there was right.
All
right.
Well, that's fine. I guess. We need an Australian in there somewhere. Landlord. Australian landlord.
No, you know, I don't think.
Oh, he doesn't have a landlord. He lives in a rich neighborhood. He's owned.
Australians. Australian.
Mortimer the Turtle does not rent.
No, God no. Mortimer the Turtle is when he's been
tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gentle that when she passes, each one she passes goes, ooh. I watch her so sadly.
This has been episode 6 of I'm Trying to Think. Dave, did you have a good time?
Yeah, I enjoyed this. I think it was, you know, some important things were said. I think we've laid some good groundwork.
Why don't you give the people something to go out on? Give them a recommendation, a movie, a TV series, an album, something.
Okay, sure. You know, I've been quite enjoying recently season 2 of the British sitcom The IT Crowd, created by Graham Linehan, writer, creator behind Father Ted, the very funny Irish priest sitcom.
Yeah, that's a very good show.
It's really on Netflix. Watch instantly now. So if you have that service, I recommend checking out.
Yeah, I would highly recommend that. My recommendation for this week is going to be the T-Rex album, The Slider. It's a very strong album. I think their strongest, really.
A lot of real good sort of glam boogie-based rock.
Oh, it's phenomenal pieces. Mark Bolan, who was the front man for T-Rex, a really underappreciated genius, I think. He died in a car crash at the age of 20. Too young, right. And when we talk about people who died too young and didn't get to fully live out their creative lives, I think, for me, Mark Bolan would be one person I'd really like to see what he would have produced. You know, as the 70s came along and as punk developed, I really think he would have had some really interesting things to contribute.
It's a shame.
So
it's a shame.
I think you can hear a lot of what goes on in sort of the early punk and even, you know, new wave music. If you listen to The Slider, you can see a lot of where that comes from. So that's good. So yeah, go out and listen to T-Rex's The Slider and watch yourself The IT Crowd season 2 is very good. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you for listening. This has been a really good episode. Yeah. So I've been Chuck Werner,
and we'll probably continue to be, in all likelihood, Dave Stern.
Right. So we'll be back next week with episode 7, and we'll talk about some other groovy stuff. You guys have a good week.
The night, riding like a cowboy through the graveyard.